Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have a lesson from Casual. But before we get into the episode proper, I wanted to thank you all for joining us again today. But in lieu of asking for the usual like, subscribe, all that engagement stuff that drives all the algorithms, I'd actually like to use this as a chance to ask for your help. My local gaming store, Dungeon Games in Fort Myers, Florida, has been a safe, welcoming place to learn and play tabletop games of all sorts, from Magic to D&D to everything in between. The family who built an amazing and diverse community, who made so many people feel like they belong, even after moving halfway across the country, were among those whose lives were upended in the wake of Hurricane Ian. After all that Josh and Amy gave to our community, I'd like to give back to them. To that end, one of my sisters has started a GoFundMe to help Josh and Amy get their lives back. Even $5 can go a long way to help pillars of a local gaming community really recover from a truly terrible storm. Link to the GoFundMe will be in this episode description. And in honor of Josh and Amy, who love a good casual game of Commander, that's our topic for today. Because many CEDH players ask the question, how do I build a casual deck again? The real question, then, is what does it mean to have a casual deck? Shout out to Sage of Fables, who was on a few months ago to discuss their deck building alignment chart, and of course, link in the episode description. Even in their discussion on the rubric, Sage points out that casual is a pretty nebulous term, and they use it as a point of contrast on the spectrum of deck optimization from tuned and high power. They choose to define casual as being decks that are closing out the game late, often going into double-digit turns, and doing so in ways that are easy for opponents to interact with, having lots of surface area, to refer to a concept we've used several times from an early episode of the Mind Sculptors. Common features of casual decks are lands that enter the battlefield tapped, or decks which have an average mana value well above 3.0, a lot of ramp spells above 3 mana value, as well as concessions being made for card quality in the name of deck theme or other self-imposed restrictions. This is actually a pretty handy description, as it can make it a lot easier to predict what kind of cards would be welcomed at a casual table. But you really do need to know the metagame. Is it a battlecruiser metagame where everyone is building up big boards of creatures and crashing in with combat damage to win? And your plans for a high synergy landfall deck are going to be really hard for that table to interact with unless they start packing more specific answers just to deal with your landfall payoffs and enchantments. A really good question to ask is, how is CDH different than quote-unquote casual? The thing that I've learned about making fun casual decks after getting deep into CDH is that it requires a change in perspective. We've talked a lot before about the three stages of a game of Commander: getting ready, all set up, and going for it. Briefly summarizing again, getting ready is the draw, land, go, or draw, land, ramp, spell, go stage of the game. Nobody really has enough resources to make any serious moves. All setup is when your deck is online and doing something. You have enough resources to multi-spell, so you can both develop your game plan and interact with your opponents. Well, going for it is what it sounds like. You're putting one or more players on the clock with your win condition. CEDH, as a metagame, focuses heavily on the going for it stage of the game, with lots of attention paid on how players are going to win the game as efficiently as possible, and how many different lines they can take to reach that point. Getting back to Sage's deck alignment chart, we can see that many of the choices CEDH deck brewers make on the optimization axis of that chart are done in the name of reaching the going for it stage of the game in the most consistent and efficient way possible. This is why so many Jeskai decks are on intuition, since it can tutor up a win with Underworld Breach, Savine's Reclamation, and Lion's Eye Diamond no matter which card an opponent picks off of the intuition. It's why Ad Nauseam is such a brutally good card in turbo decks, because all the fast mana which enables casting an early Ad Nauseam also enables a player to continue to ramp and ritual out after casting Ad Nauseam to piece together a definitive win. The casual end of the optimization spectrum focuses on the all setup stage of the game, where you're trying to get your engine online and do the thing. If you listen to players talk about their decks, particularly outside of CDH brewing circles, a lot of the language players will use describes what their deck does during this stage of the game. The landfall deck is playing landfall payoffs and starting to get multiple land drops, while the enchantress deck has an enchantress online and is drawing cards while playing value enchantments, and the tribal deck lands its force multiplier, like a lord or some other payoff for having a ton of elves. The other thing to keep in mind is not only is the critical turn later than in CEDH, but it's also going to involve a much longer clock than you'd give your opponents in a game of CEDH. A lot of games, particularly Battlecruiser games, are going to close out with creature beats, generating overwhelming advantage on board and then winning over several combat steps with commander damage, or evasive beaters, or just big, powerful creatures. Synergy decks can buck this trend a bit, winning through non-combat means like aristocrats draining your opponents out, or mill or other axes you could potentially attack on. And yes, sometimes the Battlecruiser deck just so happens to top deck an overrun effect like Craterhoof Behemoth, or a Cyclonic Rift, and the game just ends on the spot. But the difference is that casual decks aren't built with this destination in mind. Instead, they're built on being able to consistently set the game on the journey that favors their particular deck, their particular playstyle, and their particular game plan. For casual games, many of the complaints about combos or salt-inducing cards like Cyclonic Rift have to do with a game coming to an abrupt and unexpected end, which can feel weirdly anticlimactic for players who thought they were setting in for a nice, long, grindy, all-set-up stage, only for another player to go for it really early before anyone else could have a reasonable chance to interact. Kind of like a story ending in the middle of a second act, instead of after a satisfying payoff in the third act. And yes, I just now realized while recording this that my three stages of the game theory corresponds with the three-act structure in storytelling, and yeah, I'm a little excited about that. It's why a lot of players will protest early wins by saying, okay, you can combo off, but we're going to keep playing the game without you. They may feel like they haven't gotten a satisfying game in, and they didn't get to see their decks do the thing before the game came to an abrupt end. So, when sitting down to a casual table, don't be afraid to ask if your opponents feel like the game ended too early or was ending too slowly. Sometimes casual games do stall, and people can get bored and feel checked out and just are wanting the game to end. So how do you thrive in this kind of environment? How do you take advantage of the prolonged all-set-up stage of the game? If you want to have a good time getting back into casual from CEDH, it's important to build a deck that's fun for you when it's in that all-set-up stage of the game. Coming from a CEDH perspective myself, I find it's really helpful to think of my casual decks as being built to go into those grindy mid-range matchups in CEDH. At the same time, you don't really want to stack out the board the same way you might like to at a CEDH table. You're also not going to be expected to be running packages of 8 to 12 counter spells either, and the big change? You get to be a lot greedier with your ramp. Nobody is going to be going for it on turn 2 if you tap out to cast Nature's Lore or a Mana Rock. Most players are expecting you to prioritize getting your game plan online and not policing every game action that each other player takes. It's kind of liberating at times going turn 4, cast an expensive value piece, and not having to worry that somebody might just combo you down because you tapped out. You probably want to skip out on the ultra-efficient zero-drop mana rocks, but two mana value rocks and ramp spells are going to fit well in almost all casual tables, as are most mana dorks. I still value having lots of good, cheap interaction to remove particularly dangerous threats, or particularly powerful roadblocks to my own deck's game plan. But you can generally expect that win attempts are going to be very heavily telegraphed, with a reasonably long clock of 2 or 3 turns. This is particularly nice because it means you can be much more liberal in what you want to use as your win conditions in your deck. Creature beats, 3 or 4 card onboard combos, and even Voltron are quite viable. There are also lots of questions as to whether or not you can or should run tutors in casual, and my answer tends to be that tutors are completely okay when they're part of your plan to set up that, well, all set up stage of the game. For example, a lot of casual decks will run something like a Secret Commander in the 99, and having lots of ways to access those Secret Commanders is probably just fine. You don't want to run a lot of tutors which are in there specifically to get your win conditions, though, as that does tend to lead to you prioritizing leaving the all-set-up stage of the game and leapfrogging to the going-for-it stage, which may be a bit premature for the table you're sitting down with. Also keep in mind that board wipes and various resets are going to be a lot more common at casual commander tables, which is why cards like Heroic Intervention and Teferi's Protection are so coveted. Having a plan to survive, dodge, or just rebuild faster after a board wipe is really useful. Finally, when answering the question of which commander should I build, I actually recommend going back to your little mental file folder of all the commanders released over the past year or two who seemed oh so cool, but just not good enough to make it in the command zone. Those commanders who you experimented with, but were too limited in colors, or just a little too slow or too clunky to make work. Low-color commanders are great in this regard, as a lot of CEDH tends to gravitate towards high-color commanders for ease of finding win conditions and selecting high-quality cards, whereas low-color commanders tend to require that you build around them. So let's now try to put all these ideas together into a single deck, and in this case, one that I've built since I've started thinking of casual commander like this, my Trelasara Moondancer Soul Sisters deck. Trelasara is a 2-mana value 2/2 Selesnya Legend for a green and a white legendary creature elf cleric with whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on Trelasara and scry 1. She's certainly not the most powerful commander ever printed, not even in Selesnya. By turn 3 though, I'm scrying 1-2 times per turn, pumping my commander up and attacking in to instigate some action at the table. The deck doesn't really go for it until I find a way to give Trelasara trample, or some other form of evasion. Until that point, she's just a beater that gets chump blocked, but I'm having a good time making decisions about combat and whether to scry to top or bottom. The deck is fun during that sweet spot in the all setup stage of the game that casual games are built around. I get lots of chances to dig for really meaningful plays on my next turn. I do run quite a few tutors in the deck, but cards like Ranger Captain of Eos and Ranger of Eos are there more to grab my Soul Sisters, the cards that my deck needs to really get off the ground, than necessarily to find a card which will give my commander trample and put my opponents on the clock. Much of what this deck is originated from a Karlova of the Ghost Council deck, which delivered a little bit too much interaction to the point where it felt oppressive to play into these casual pods. Being able to remove basically whatever I wanted on every single turn cycle was pretty overbearing at times. Instead of having every turn removal on call, I get a big beater and lots of scry triggers to look for the next useful card in my deck, make sure I'm consistently hitting my land drops, and scrying through to action when things are getting dire. Win or lose, I get to make lots of the interesting decisions that I enjoy in a game of Commander. And because I'm taking on the role of the instigator at the table, making early attacks, forcing people to block, I'm also minimizing the chances that the game grinds to a complete halt. This is a recipe for a fun game for me, and one that most casual tables will be able to interact with meaningfully throughout the majority of the game. How about you? What's your go-to deck for casual tables when you're taking a break from CEDH? Do you have any other advice you might want to offer CEDH players who are ready to get back into brewing for non-CEDH tables? Let us know. You can leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can email us, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.